Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. Match reaction for Ajax 0, Aston Villa 0 in the Europa Conference League. Small disclaimer that I have not watched the game. What is that? I've been on the overlap in Manchester, finished really late. So driving home, listening to Villa in Europe is not the one, but good job Justin's watched it and I've gathered information and I've sort of gauge what's happened. But yeah, like we said in the match preview, knockout football hits differently. Knockout football is kind of different how you view a game in the sense of do not lose. Do not lose. If you're away from home in that first leg, do not lose and take it back to our place and we'll win that game there. So that's just the way I look at it. That's the way, you know, Unai has negated Europe of all these European victories that he has had. So what we'll do, we'll quickly have a look at the stats and then we'll get Justin's main thoughts. So I'll be able to show you the stats from the game then. So we can have a look here then. Aston Villa's possession, we had 40% possession, 60% for Ajax, 4 shots for Villa, 1 shot on target for Aston Villa. The passing stats, we had 332, 81% passing accuracy, 504 for Ajax and 87% passing accuracy. Couple of changes to the Villa lineup, and as we can see, this was the average positions from that game. So a 3 at the back, double pivot of Timo Rabunen, and we've got Dougie Luiz in there, the left back going forward, making up a sort of 5 in midfield with the 2 up top of Diaby and Watkins. So, Justin, you have watched the game. Do all of the talking. Talk me through it.
No pressure whatsoever. Right. Firstly, I like the team selection. We ummed and ahed on the when we did the team selection one, who was going to play. And I did feel Conte was going to play it right back. I remember saying that. And I was pleased to see that happen. Lovely to see Timo Rabunen. I know we discussed that, playing in the double pivot. And I think he did pretty well overall, considering it was his first start in a massive game away in Europe against Ajax. What a place to be thrown in. And then he threw Morgan Rodgers in and he left out Bailey and McGinn. You know, you could have made arguments to leave one or two out. I think it worked okay. I think the first half overall, we just sat in. And I think that's what's frustrated people, that they've seen it. And not everybody, because I think after the game, a lot of people are now saying, looking at Twitter, that they're happy with that result, they're okay. But during it, there was a lot of discontent. A lot of people going, we don't want to win it. We don't, you know. Like you say, these European games are very, you have to look at them very differently. It's not a Premier League game where you just, if you don't play well, you just get taken to the cleaners and that's it. Or even a cup game in England where it's one-off. That you have to be very pragmatic with, especially when you're away from home, first leg. We sat back, we soaked up pressure, we tried to play through their high press. The front four, I would say, wasn't as good as the back seven. I think the back four played particularly well. The midfield did okay. Everything further forward than that. I mean, they were feeding off scraps. You saw those statistics. You know, 1 shot on target the whole game, 4 shots overall. It's not a massive output, is it, going? So that, and even during that first half, you could see that we wasn't pressing them. When they had the ball anywhere around the halfway line, we just sat in our shape and we just said, okay, let's see how good you are. You break us down. And generally, the offside trap worked very, very well in the first half. They broke it once for Bobbery, who managed to muscle his way in and he hit a pretty tame effort, you know, wide. We sat in. We kept them at arm's length. We frustrated them. We quietened the crowd down. You know, it was an incredible atmosphere before the game. You know, they had the lights going, the fireworks going. There was really good noise from the stadium. So, you know, it's an intimidating place to go. Ajax, historically, like us, are a massive club. You know, they've had more success than us in Europe. So it's quite a, you know, for the, especially the young lads that have thrown in tonight, It's a big occasion for them and they rose to it, in my opinion. Yes, we would have wanted to see a score and that would have been the absolute icing on the cake, to nick a goal. But don't lose away. You know, it was up to Ajax to be the aggressor, especially in the first half. So sit back, soak it all up, play through them. Yes, we would have liked to have had a better performance going forward, but don't throw the game away in the first leg. We've seen Brighton tonight. I think they've had 53% possession away at Roma, and they've been obliterated. They are out. Game over. Two legs. Forget it. We now bring them back to us. Villa Park. Fortress Villa Park. Night game. Sold out. We're going to totally be a different kettle of fish for them last week. That's their best side that played tonight, that started tonight. Their best 11. And that are currently available. And they were, at best, pretty average. They couldn't break us down. They barely laid a glove on us. That's apparently, upon reading, one of the best games they've played this season. Emi had a decent save to make in the second half when he cut the ball back to the lad who ran onto it. And he hit a decent enough shot, but not wide enough for the keeper to make him really make a save. But he had to make a save. For me, it's job done. We get the draw, we bring them back to Villa Park, we put it on them big time next week, and we win the game. You know, a very interesting tweet from a friend of mine on Twitter, Nicola Partridge, and she put, "I know plenty of folk who didn't see us win the European Cup in 82. I keep saying it, and I'll say it again, it was mostly absolute grind in those matches, and the players involved said the same thing. This is how, in this competition, you have to play." Mm-hmm. They aren't easy places to go. Everybody's looked at the start of the season and think, oh, we'll roll. And neither me or you thought we would steamroll them tonight. We both said a draw, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like I keep saying about knockout football, that it's differently. It's in a sense of, you know, for example, I imagine Brighton have gone to Rome today and played their normal, expansive self.
Exactly.
And they've been carved open and the tie's done and dusted. You know, we want to win this competition, and what you don't want to do is sort of throw it away in the first leg. That it means you go back to Villa Park. Imagine we lost 2-1 or we lost 1-0. You know, that's a completely different game because, one, we're having to be the aggressor from the start anyway. We're going to be more open. We've got to throw the kitchen sink at it because we've got to score two goals to go through. So Unai knows how to work European competitions. And that's why I was being very, very cautious. There were some people in the comments saying, come on, Luke, you need to be a bit more positive about this. And I was like, but I'm just being realistic of how this European tie is going to work. I literally called how they would do it as well. You know, I said they're going to be up for it. I was on the Ajax podcast twice. I said it on here that this was their biggest game of the season because they're in knockout football. They're doing average in the league by their standards. They were going to be well up for this game, and they were going to make it really, really difficult. I saw no way of Aston Villa rolling up there and absolutely steamrolling them. I just did not see it. And I'm not saying that's because we're not capable of doing it, but I just saw realistically how this game was potentially going to pan out. But, you know, there's a couple of positives here. And I think one is a clean sheet away from home in Europe. That is a massive positive because, you know, we've been leaking goals in. So tough place to go, you know, under the circumstances, a great clean sheet to have for Aston Villa. The next 2 points that I'm going to make is Timmy Rabunan has started a game in a knockout game of football, in a big game, and Unai's trusted him, and he started Morgan Rodgers as well. So I think both of those are bold moves from the manager, and I think it shows a lot of what he thinks about both of those players to play them in this competition as well. So I'm hearing that Pau was took off at half-time as a tactical decision. So he only felt like he was going to have 45 minutes. So that, again, is a real plus point. Right. But talk to me about the ref. I'm hearing a lot of stuff about the ref. I've saw Zaniolo's yellow, and that, well, I don't know how that's a yellow. And then Consa's one. And so what was the ref's performance like?
Right, we should do a whole podcast on the ref because you could pull his performance apart. I mean, he was out of his depth. That's simple as that. I think off the top of my head, he's like a Slovakian referee. So he's coming from a league that he refs, you know, poorer standard than this. This was, it wasn't even a white hot atmosphere on the pitch. You know, there was no really bad tackles. Both teams really sat off each other. He was giving yellows for really daft things, which is probably how Consa ended up getting a yellow in the first place. And then, to be honest, I've watched that second yellow over and over again on concert, and he's the one getting fouled. It is ridiculous. I mean, if it had been a straight red, we could have appealed it. Because it's a second yellow, we can't appeal it, I don't think. So that's pathetic. Zaniolo comes off on the pitch and basically gets yellow carded for being 6 foot, just for holding his ground. You know, what's scary is that there's these refs that are around that have to take these games on, because they have to spread the games around for the different referees from all the different sort of areas and leagues around Europe. But if you get a bad one, you could be out with a ref, you know, one ref's bad decisions, you could be knocked out. In a game like this, which was a tightrope game, one decision could have gone. And you imagine if they give one of them fouls in the box, a penalty, a ridiculous, you know. Hopefully you'd think VAR would step in. But overall, I mean, I've seen some dodgy performances in the Premier League this season, but that one, honestly, it tops it for me. It was pathetic, honestly.
Because I actually think a lot of the refs that we've had at Villa Park have been some of the best refs that I think I've seen all season. I can't remember which game it was at home, but one of them I was like, this guy is absolutely brilliant. So it's quite surprising, really, that this ref's had a bit of a shocker. So we'll just focus on two players then, the two players that we mentioned earlier. Looking at Rodgers' heat map here, looks like he did a bit more defensive work in that area there. So how would you summarise Rodgers' performance?
He did okay, but I think he suffered very much like Diaby did, Tielemans did and Watkins did, in that the game wasn't played in that final third pretty much for the whole game. So they were all feeding off scraps. I don't think any of the front four would be happy with how they looked after the ball. I think they could have done better with that, because when you are feeding off scraps, it is imperative that your players in those sort of attacking third can get hold of it and allow your players to get up to them and allow a sustained amount of pressure for a period of time. And I felt that would happen at some point, but it never did, because we couldn't really get hold of the game, because we were so happy to let them have the ball in the middle third. And I think that just... So it's not like I don't think he had a good game. I just think that the game wasn't suited to our front players, you know, and he did change in the second half. Then we obviously had the sending off, so they had to sort of drop a couple of players in. But it wasn't, you know, I'd say I've had a defensive sort of third, we were 7 out of 10. And then, but the front lot, you know, they haven't seen anything like we can produce. And I think next week they will be. As much as I predicted the draw today, after watching Ajax tonight, I'm going to predict that we could take them to the cleaners next week. Because if they'd have nicked a goal tonight, 1-0, like we were saying earlier, that gives them something huge to hold on to next week. And it totally changes the game. Now we're 0-0. I think we can really go for the juggling in the first 10, 15 minutes of that game. Because if we start like a train and we go at them, they will not be able to cope with us next week. No. And we will be camped in their half and we'll be camped in their penalty box, and we will be creating chance after chance after chance, because they are just not that good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different game at Villa Park now. On what that the magnitude of that game, of how we will play and how we will control that game. So touch on then Tim Iribunen. How was his performance in that sort of deeper double pivot role?
I thought he did well. I thought he did better than Rodgers, but I think he was involved in the game a lot more. You can see he's got that air of sort of, like, he just likes to play football, and you can tell he's got that really nice way about him, the way he receives the ball, the way he tries to do this. And you could see he plays a lot with, you know, he's been influenced by like a Dougie Louise or a Kamara or a Tielemans or a McGinn. You can see those influences in the way he tries to play, the little flicks, the little turns, the little shifts of the ball. You know, the way he's trying to play the little one, you know, when they feed the ball into the six and then they knock it out to the fullback, and trying to create space all the time for these attacking outputs. He's got all that in his game, and I think it's helped that he's been in and around the squad all season. He hasn't been out on loan, and he's biding his time, and he's ready now for me to come in and start showing whether he can, at any point in his Villa career, become a really, really important player for us. If I'm honest, I think the jury's still out whether he's good enough to play in this team. But I don't think anybody would be surprised to hear that, because he's not Dougie Louise or Kamara. But he hasn't got to be. He's a young kid. I think there is levels. I think he can go up levels, and having game time like this will only help him. And then he struggled a bit with cramp towards the end, which obviously happened because he hasn't played so much now. But he's got something. He's definitely got something. Now, whether he gets enough game time for that to come out and him to ever feel comfortable enough that he feels a real part of the first 11, I don't know, because of the players that are ahead of him. And that's his biggest problem now. He's got some absolute ballers ahead of him. So the only chance I think he's got to really stake a claim, unfortunately for Kamara, but fortunately for him, is he's got this little window now where he could maybe come in and play some games in that position. Because like I said, when we were discussing the team selection, I would have put McGinn in where Rodgers was if I'd have played Irabunim. That was one of the things I hoped we would do, but he didn't. He left McGinn out and put Rodgers there. But I think if we get a positive result on Saturday against Spurs and then we can go away from them, then you could even see a chance if we get a few more points ahead. We could even see players getting rested in the Premier League, dare I say it, because we're going deeper in the Conference League. If we're 10, 11, 12 points ahead of Spurs and Man United with 4 or 5 games to go and we're in a semi-final of a Conference League, we're going to see these players getting minutes in the Premier League against weaker opposition. And that's where he's got that chance then to come in and try and stake a claim to be a bit more of a big player for us.
Love it.
Too much there, and I.
No, good. I mean, you've had to do all the talking because I haven't been able to watch it. So good result, I think. Still all to play for. Sets us up really nicely. I am going to be going live tomorrow, I think at about 5:30 for the Spurs preview. So we'll go live for that. All our content will still be coming. We've got live for the match preview tomorrow. We've got opposition preview out on Saturday morning. And then we'll have fan cams on Sunday for that big game against Spurs. So cheers for watching the game, Justin. Up the Villa.
Yes, no problem. Up the Villa. Great performance. Great result. Beaten next week.